Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back. Droid Live Show, episode 123 today. It's Wednesday, October 5th. I'm your host, Kellen, with me, Tim. Tim, say hi.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Tim here. Sorry, I wanted to leave you hanging there for a second.
Tim was muted for a second. We're doing a Wednesday show because, as you guys know, big event yesterday. So Google announced all of their new stuff yesterday. San Francisco event. October 4th was the date. They've been hyping it pretty good for a number of days now. Well, ever since they first announced that date. So anyways, we were there. Well, I was there in San Francisco. We saw everything. We played with some stuff. There's just so much, and we want to talk about it now. We didn't want to wait until Friday because I don't know, we're all kind of amped up. Actually, I'm crashing like as I speak. But yeah, we'll get through this. There's lots to talk about. This is fun stuff, I think. So let's see, event recap. Well, the thing was live stream, so most of you guys probably watched it. It was at, 9 a.m.? Yeah, 9 a.m. So 9 a.m. Pacific yesterday. It lasted for like an hour and a half or so. And I mean, Google walked through it. They started talking about the Google Assistant. That sort of set the tone for the whole sort of presentation. So Google Assistant, which is built into Allo. You guys have maybe played with the Google Assistant, but Google's basically been trying to work up to the point where you can talk to your phone and it'll help you get things done. I think the goal is more powerfully than like Siri or something like that. But so they're working towards that. And then they wanted to show off a bunch of their products that have the Google Assistant built in. So then they transitioned to the Pixel phones. So Pixel phones are now official, Pixel and Pixel XL. And then from there, they talked about Google Home and the Chromecast Ultra, which is now official, and Google Wi-Fi, and then the Daydream View, which is Google's own Daydream Viewer. So I guess we'll start with Pixel phones, right? Like that's the biggest topic of the day.
Yeah, those are big.
Yeah, so Pixel phones, they are up for pre-order right now. You can buy them. Where I should say you can pre-order them through the Google store. I believe Best Buy may be live. Let me check. And then Verizon. So Verizon is indeed the exclusive carrier partner in the US, but you can buy the Pixel phones unlocked at the Google store and they will work everywhere as well. And yeah, it does look like Best Buy's pre-order is finally live. So Pixel starts at $649. Not cheap, but this is sort of what we were expecting. And that's 32 gigs. If you want the 128 gig version, it jumps up $100 to $749. God, that's expensive. The Pixel XL starts at $769 for 32 gigs and then jumps up to $869 for 128 gigs. You can finance these through the Google store. So go monthly payments. So around $27 per month for the cheapest regular Pixel, and $32 a month for the cheapest Pixel XL. And again, you can finance through Google Store. Obviously, Verizon has payment plans. I think even Best Buy offers payment plans as well. So we know the pricing. We can maybe loop back around to that. In terms of specs, they are what we expected them to be, which has been leaked over and over and over again. 5-inch 1080p display on the Pixel, 5.5-inch Quad HD display on the Pixel XLs, both AMOLEDs, Snapdragon 821 processors, 4 gig RAM, 12.3 megapixel cameras, 2770 milliamp hour battery on the Pixel, 3450 milliamp hour on the Pixel XL. Again, 32 or 128 gig storage, fingerprint readers on the back, Type C, NFC, Bluetooth 4.2, IP53 dust and water resistance. And they come in three colors: black, silver, and blue.
Wow.
Yeah. So let's see. I played with it for a little while.
Yeah. What did you think? Was it like worth every penny, or what do you think?
I liked them. Let's see. It's been over 24 hours now since I played with the phones. I don't know that I'm sitting here going, God, I just can't wait to own these phones. Greatest thing I've ever touched in my life. But I'm also excited for them because they're Google's new phones and stock Android or whatever we're calling it. Pure Android, Google's Android.
Google Experience.
Google Android Experience, something. I will say that I'm excited to spend more time with them. I don't know that I saw anything yesterday where I just said, oh my God, Google just changed the game sort of stuff. It wasn't really like that, but the phones are nice. They're built really well, feel nice in hand. They look nice, even with the weird sort of two-tone textury thing going on the backside. And by the way, that sort of plasticky panel up the backside, there's like nothing secret under there as far as we know. It's just like to add texture or something to the phone. One of the things that stood out to me is size-wise, the regular Pixel actually feels sort of smallish. It does have a 5-inch display, but it felt smallish. So if you do want a smaller phone, it's probably a good one to go. And then the XL, even with 5.5-inch display, didn't feel ridiculously large. It actually felt pretty good in the hand. And, you know, when you're at these events like recording and holding the phone sometimes in like a camera in one hand, a lot of times it's hard to use those bigger phones, but it was easy to use. The blue version looks cool, just because it's different, right? And it's not ugly blue and rose gold like the Note 7. I don't know. Like the Android experience with these phones, like, you know, you kind of know what to get. It is Android 7.1. And we've been playing with the Pixel launcher for weeks, so that's not new. The camera was fast enough, I think. I don't know that it's faster than Samsung's cameras, but it seemed fast.
And it looked fast in that video you posted.
Yeah, and Google's, you know, they gave it to DxO Mark, who rated it the highest ever, if that matters to anyone. It's the highest rated DxO Mark smartphone camera ever. So
that reminds me a lot of trying to achieve, what is it, a low or a high Wiseman score. I don't know if anyone watches Silicon Valley, the show on HBO, but the whole first season revolves around trying to compress files into like the smallest amount as quickly as possible.
That's right.
And that's what DxO Mark is to me. Wiseman scores.
That's funny. So the camera performance is really good, right? So Nexus phones, and now these are Pixels, but I always felt like they did run Android the best of any phone. And one of those ways I think you can tell is for sure on these phones, when you hold down home to launch into Google Assistant now, it just fires up instantly. And I feel like if you tried to do that, like if you launch Google Now on top, now on tap or whatever it's called now, if you try to launch that, I feel like on a Galaxy phone or an LG phone, I always feel like it took a little bit of extra time. It never really seemed that fast, but it always seems on Google's own phones that stuff just launches faster. Anyway, that was fast. You know, it's not like I could play with the assistant much because you're like in this giant press event and people are fighting for phones and it's loud. You can't really do that. What are the other things they push with this though? So unlimited full resolution storage for Google Photos, including 4K. Obviously, there's the Daydream stuff if you're into VR. God, they had five things. What were the other?
It was customer service, 24/7 customer support tab.
That's right. We're missing one.
Well, I'm awful at my job.
Daydream, support, photos, camera. The camera, they said, was great. So those were like the five things, right, that they're trying to push. and then are those enough to, you know,
get apparently people?
Apparently not. Yeah, so we ran a poll. Of course we did.
And yes, it does have a headphone jack. Thank you, Tejas, in the chat.
Yes, there is a headphone jack.
Google has no courage.
Let's see. So we asked if people are buying these, and 64% said not buying. 24% said XL. 12% said Pixel. Ooh. So about 36% of our readers are buying these. I wish I had a poll from last year on are you buying the 6P 5X? I'm sure we could pull that up, because I'm just wondering how different it is, right?
Oh, yeah, we could pull that up.
So I think I pissed a whole bunch of people off today, and I wrote this post this morning. Like, I woke up in San Francisco, got on a plane and was flying. And like, I just yesterday, and it's not like I'm trying to stick up for Google. I think people probably think that. They probably think there's Google money flowing in here. But I just, like, yesterday the theme was Google sucks. They ditched Nexus. These phones are overpriced. and blah 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 blah. Like it's just like, and it all it seemed to come back to the price. Really, it seems like everyone's just mad that these aren't cheap ass Nexus phones. Right. So I wrote a post saying, people, stop worrying about the price. Like, if you want the best Google phone, like, this is probably still your best option. You're not going to get another stock Android phone like this. It's Google's experience. They're actually putting more effort into this now than they did Nexus phones. So, like, these are the phones built for you. And then I just think that doesn't matter to anyone once they see a price that they have deemed
they don't agree with.
High, yeah.
Yeah, someone in the chat said they want a flagship phone for beer money prices, you know, like for $199, $299. And really, it's not going to happen unless, you know, we're talking like OnePlus or something. But then there's always something fatally wrong with the device, right? That's something like you really want, but isn't there. Something always missing. But I was able to pull up the poll from last year, which said you go on Nexus 5X or Nexus 6P, and 14,000 votes. Nexus 6P ranked at 53%.
Wow.
Nexus 5X at 24%, and then neither at 23%. So polar opposites.
Yeah.
Where this year, the majority of people not feeling these phones. Last year, the majority were feeling the Nexus 6P in a tough way.
That's crazy, actually. That's so crazy. Are those... Is part of that timing, or is it really just because everyone hates Google right now? What I'm saying is that was like the Nexus 5. It was people coming from the Nexus 5 that had maybe kept it for 2 years, and then it had been 2 years, and they were buying new phones. I don't know. And they all skipped the Nexus 6 because it was also expensive like these phones are. I don't know. And it was a whale. But so I don't know. Like I totally get that people don't, especially after years of buying, you know, these Nexus phones and things like that for $400, $500, $300, $350. And then now we're back to $650. I mean, how much? $869. If you want the top tier XL, that's obviously iPhone. That's Note 7. We're in that sort of category of pricing. I think it's probably shocking to some people. I mean, there's no, we talked about this with the Note, right? Remember you wrote a post that was like, people stop getting so offended by the Note 7 pricing. You're paying for, you know, the best of the best in that phone. I don't know that this matches the Note 7 every line of the way, right? We talked about this a little bit earlier. You're like, well, you know, this doesn't have an S Pen. It's not water resistant. There's no fast iris wireless scanner. No fast wireless charging.
No expandable storage.
So I think it's harder to, like, I get that idea that it's harder to fully justify
right
these pixels to that when that's what you're getting from Samsung. But I also don't know that it's missing enough for these phones to be $400. I don't think it's like, although you could say though, with the regular Pixel at 650 with the 1080p display, kind of like,
See, like the display resolution isn't that much of like a selling thing for me. Like 1080p is really fine for me, but like you said,
or then it seems like you'd be able to shave off some cost. I don't know how much displays cost. But.
Right. The things that are mentioned may not be a huge factor to you when buying a phone, but to other people may be a very large factor, like lack of expandable storage, lack of wireless charging. For some, like, I've never really used wireless charging a lot until recently, like in the past week. But it seems to be a big deal for people. People really want that wireless charging. And the Pixel phone doesn't even have that. And no idea as to really like why exactly.
Well, the Nexus ones last year didn't have it either. Remember, Google said we don't do that anymore because fast USB Type-C charging is better than wireless. That's essentially what they said. So
right. But then if you're going to put a price tag like that on the X or a Pixel in the XL, then you would think maybe build in these things to sort of, I guess, justify that price. Not only that, but the one that would be most important to me would be the water resistance. And Google has said these phones are water resistant, IP53, which means don't even spit on them. Like it's not protected at all. And you know, the Note 7, S7, S7 Edge, even the iPhones now are pretty much water resistant. You can dunk them in a pool and they'll be okay. And the fact that these Pixel phones that are average like $700 aren't, to me, that's a problem. I mean, what exactly am I getting for $700 beyond just the software stuff? Like, really, I want my hardware to be great too. And I know the specs are cool. Snapdragon 821, that's good. Good displays, etc. Good camera. But I think they fell short in terms of like what people expect when they're paying that price these days.
Yeah, and I think that we're just so accustomed to cheaper Google phones that when they go, you're like, well, why, you know, why was the 6P only $500 last year? It had stereo speakers and it had, you know, almost the same style of specs and it was 500. So how did we go from 500 to 870? And I mean, I wrote about this a couple of weeks ago and said, if this thing's tied to Verizon, you should expect it to be expensive. And I think part of it is the game that Google has to play. Like, they have to play by the rules of carriers because they don't have pull, right? I don't know. I don't know what to tell people. Like, it's a flagship phone and these are flagship prices. I guess that's like the best way to just say it. I guess everyone could be disappointed at the price, not buy it and buy something else. But then again, I would say, what else are you going to buy if you want the Google experience? Like, what else are you going to buy?
I guess you just don't get the Google experience, right? I mean, and that's fine because is Assistant really all that cool? Like, do people want Assistant? That might be another poll we should run. Like, is Google Assistant exciting? Yeah.
Do you need 4K backups?
Nope.
Is the camera the best? The camera thing, that's actually going to be something that we need to obviously fully test. Because if they think they have the best smartphone camera ever, that's actually a pretty major selling point. And that you have unlimited backup for all the photos that you could potentially spam off with the best camera ever.
Yeah, I mean, I recently got my mom back onto Android from iPhone. She didn't even know Google Photos did like free backups in like high quality, not original quality, but high quality. Mm-hmm. And I turned that on for her and I was like, yeah, look, now your storage isn't going to tell you you're about to run out of space. And she was like, oh my God, this is a game changer for me. Like, I can take more photos now. And I was like, yeah, there you go. Yeah,
Google Photos.
So Google needs to educate the elderly and letting them know that they can save all those photos of grandkids and dogs and cats to the cloud and educate them about what the cloud is while you're at it, because they don't know that either.
Yeah, so Mario in the chat mentioned, I understand it's flagship, but you can't go from 500 to 900. Is it like a sticker shock thing? And I totally get how it could be. Because, and we just said that, right? Like, the 6P was a top of the line metal phone with everything. I mean, it didn't have water resistance or wireless charging, but it had everything else, right?
And Snapdragon 810, right?
Yeah. Which was still the flagship at that time. Yeah. And it was, you know, $500. So yeah, it is kind of shocking to go from there to there. Like I said, you're jumping in back into carriers. Google's, you know, talking about how like this is their phone, even though we still know the HTC made it, but it seems like maybe they've invested more effort into it. They also need to fund this 24/7 support stuff.
I mean, I don't think the higher price of the phone is directly going to the people who are supporting people, right? I know what you're saying, but I don't think you can make a really good enough argument to say that Google's pricing on this phone is complete, like 100% justified.
I don't even know that it is. I just don't like, what are you going to do? I guess is kind of like,
well, just not buy the phone. Like, Google will learn their lesson. And then next year come back maybe with Pixel phones that are less expensive. And who knows, maybe they'll leave something else out that's huge.
I don't think they're going to do that. I think this is what we should expect.
Ooh. So yeah, I'm not for like expecting phones that I don't want to buy. Right?
Google has made it sound like with this, they're starting over, basically. This is a new line of phones, and they're starting over, and they want to play with the big boys, and they want to charge big boy pricing.
Well, then they need to bring the big boy features. Yeah.
Well, so maybe that's what we do. We just keep telling them, like, no, you screwed up. Like, we need this, this, and if you're going to charge this, we need this, this, and this. I think I get all that. I just don't know where else you're going to go. Like, if you want this experience, it's this is the Google experience, and you'll get updates and you'll get new features for Android. It's their vision. It should be the best Android experience that like Nexus users for one wanted. And I guess you just don't buy one. Stick with a Nexus, which seems to be getting cut off also, which we can talk about in a second. But
right. I was going to say, if Allo has anything to do with Google's vision for what Android should be, I want no part of it. I can't stand Allo. I tried using it again. Just no one's on it. It's an unfinished product. Anyway, I think the phones look great. I have yet to hold one, but I think they look good, right? But then looking good doesn't necessarily translate to how does this thing behave in everyday life. And yeah, we're going to have to wait until Google ships out units and we're able to try it out for a week and then really decide. However, I just have the feeling that the price tag is going to sort of sway me and how I review the device, right? I'll be sort of comparing it to any other device that's priced in that range, which is only the best of the best, like you said, iPhone, Note 7, S7. And at least on the spec page, besides, you know, having a newer processor and possibly a better camera, there's not many areas where it stacks up equally, I think, to the best from Samsung. I don't really want to compare anything to the iPhone because iPhones are $1,000 and don't bring half of what the latest Android phones have. So I won't even compare to the
iPhone. That's who they're fighting with is Apple is one of the people they're fighting with, right?
And does this offer fighting with
more than what Apple does? I mean, Apple has water resistance now, but
yeah,
they have a better camera than Apple. Their displays have higher resolutions than Apple's.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I would also take Google Assistant over Siri any day of the week. Like Siri is just it's gimmicky because they spend 20 hours a day writing jokes for her to tell. You know, when you ask her to tell you a joke, that's not helpful to me as an owner of a device. So I would take Assistant over Siri. Although we need to name Assistant, like I'm cool with like Google Assistant being sort of like the platform, but I need a name for her. I want to call her something.
Does Google Assistant?
Ugh, don't like it.
Is the reality just that Samsung is so damn far ahead of everyone that just no one stands a chance anymore? Because you know, like if you even look at what Apple's doing, you go look at what LG's doing, you look at now what Google's doing. They all want to charge these big prices for these flagships, and we always kind of go back to Samsung and go, well, Samsung did this. Samsung threw everything in it, and they even tossed in some gimmicky ass iris scanners just for fun. So maybe Samsung's to blame for all this because they've just gotten too good.
Yeah, I guess, you know, maybe you're right. Samsung should have priced the Note 7 at like $1,200.
Probably.
And then people would be like, oh, wow, $800 for this Pixel phone? That's fantastic. Like, the Note 7's over $1,000. So, yeah, I guess Samsung is to blame for pretty much everything.
Blame Samsung for everything.
You're right, though. You're right. They have so many features, and it does feel like they're just light years beyond what others are doing, right? Of course, everyone has a QHD display, but Samsung's Super AMOLED displays are like
they're better.
The cameras are better, and they even lower the megapixels, and the quality is still better. Like, not that megapixel directly equates to quality, but their 12 megapixel shooters are better than, say, LG's 16 or 18 or whatever the heck they're putting in phones these days. So,
right.
So it's Samsung's king, I guess. Wrap it up. Show's over.
Yeah, that's it. Kill off everything and just
Pixel line reset.
I will say that when these Pixel phones come out and we're done with reviews, my gut tells me that that's the phone I'll be using is these Pixel phones. Like, I will finally ditch the S7, which I keep coming back to after every phone. And I think it's because of the software experience.
Yeah, I would have to agree. Again, I haven't touched the phones yet, but just from what I've seen, like I'm missing that stock Android experience, that Google experience, just being on the Note 7. And you know, especially if my house goes up in flames because of the Note 7, I'll have to use a different phone. So definitely going to hop on that Pixel train. Especially the blue one. The blue looks great. Although I will say Google should have released, I don't know if anyone was on Twitter yesterday, but I released a few images of upcoming Pixel colors that were designed by myself. Got it in the Google Red, Google Yellow, Google Green. They need to release all those colors. That would be great. I even made a purple one just for fun.
So I'm trying to like think of ways, and this is not me trying to justify Google's pricing, but like, let's say you walk into a store and there's three choices. You have Samsung, you have the Pixels, and you have an iPhone or something. And maybe even there's an LG in there, and they're basically all the same price now. Like, which would you pick if you saw, like, say, I know you haven't held the Pixel, but like, which would you go for? If they're all the same price, like, do you actually say, well, I'm going for Samsung because it has all these extra little things we talked about? Or do you go, no, I really like Google's software so much better. I'll go, and they supposedly have the best camera ever. I'll go that. Like, where do you go? Like, take out the fact that all the old Nexus phones were $250. Like, yes, you just walk into a store and you have these three, you have the iPhone 7, Google's Pixel, and like the S7 Edge or something sitting there. Like, which do you go for?
So if it was me personally, I would buy a Pixel smartphone because I think that simple tends to just work better and it would just be a smoother experience. However, if I was advising someone's purchase, I would say get the Samsung phone because that Samsung phone may come with a lot more that they would see as, oh, wow, flashy. I can maybe show this off to my friends, like the water resistance and things they might need, like expandable storage, wireless charging, et cetera, et cetera. And then if it was a family member, I would suggest they get the iPhone. That way they never ask me for like tech support. So, but for me, Pixel phone all the way, just because simple tends to work better. Like I booted up a Nexus 6P not that long ago, and the thing is still buttery smooth. Like it's still, I think it was running the, no, it's running official like Nougat now. And it was super smooth, feels great, doesn't feel like a year old phone or anything like that. It's super nice. So I know that going into the future, the Pixel phones will continue to perform well while the Note 7 sort of stutters here and there. Every 7 days, I get a notification saying, hey, you need to restart your device because it may slow down. Like, what the hell is that? Like, just work. Clean yourself up like Android should do.
Right.
So, yeah, Pixel phone. I like that question, though.
And I think that's probably what... Obviously, we're Android nerds, but that's what I'm, and maybe I should have said that in my post today, but that's what I'm trying to say is like, if you're buying a smartphone, like you need a new smartphone and you're looking at these options, like why wouldn't you choose the Pixel over one of these other phones? Because I probably would. That's the type of Android I like is what comes on this phone. It's yeah. Google's vision for Android. And they've added in Assistant, which who knows, maybe that will be a big deal. And they say they have an awesome camera and they have the fingerprint sensor in the spot I like. I would probably go that. And then again, that's also me trying to ignore the fact that Nexus phones cost $125 in years past.
Yeah. You know, if you really don't want to spend that much on the Pixel, I'd just recommend getting the Nexus 6P. That's still... That's a fine phone. It is still going to get a Google experience. It's running Nougat. It will get Android 7.1 at some point.
So buy it anywhere? Is it gone from you like Amazon still has them?
You can still buy it places. That's no problem. I think even on like Swappa, if you're cool with that sort of thing, you can get it for $300. So still a fine phone. Good camera. So yeah, that's one way to go. If you really want that Google experience, there are other options.
There are. So, yeah, it's a tough thing. And I think it has to do with history because I think everyone's used to really affordable. And now they're like, what the hell is going on? I guess I'm looking at it as Google's putting together a new brand. They're starting a new line. They think it's ultra premium, even though like we just talked about, it doesn't tick every box. But I still think when you compare it to whatever else is on the market, it probably is going to offer you the best, you know, Google experience. So still, I do feel bad for people that now they have to pay $700 instead of $400 or whatever they were hoping for. I think a lot of Nexus people probably bought a new phone every year because it was like $400. It's like lock in for a couple of years because they're expensive now.
I will say that while the price may be bad, like right off the bat, of course, not a lot of people can drop $700+ on a smartphone, but that financing that Google offers is zero APR. It's over, 2 years, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's high 20s, low $30, $27 to $32 if you want the XL. So that's not bad at all. That's actually a really we saw a lot of people in the chat yesterday once the pre-orders opened up. A lot of people saying, I got it through Google financing. Yeah. which is through like Saucony Bank or Synchrony or something. So I don't know what their exact terms are, but I know it's zero APR, which of course is important. So just finance it. That's not, it's gonna, not going to kill you, right? So 30 bucks a month.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things they did do is they do have financing now. So yeah, you don't have to fork out $500, $600, $700, $800 up front anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We'll see. Google seems to be serious, I think. I mean, they did this today.
Oh, you picked one up. Nice. Yeah, I was going to have to go to the stands and...
Yeah, so yeah, the front of USA Today. So like there's the paper back here, but in front of every USA Today is like this two-page
Google ad. I love how, so before yesterday's event, Kellen was talking about how Google has $1 trillion that they could just spend on marketing. And it looks apparently like they heard you. They were listening with the NSA.
They may want to do that. I think there's another like section in here too. Oh yeah. The money section has stuff about their VR. I haven't looked at it yet.
VR. Can't believe that's still a thing.
So maybe Google's serious. Maybe they're going to actually start advertising. They're going to try to push this thing out.
Someone, Samsung Shield in the chat, just made a fantastic comment. Damn, a newspaper? What is that? Like, you know, you would think Google would be smarter than to use like the archaic... that form of media to announce that they have a new phone. But
do people buy USA Today? I don't really know.
Oh, I haven't. No, I don't trust their reporting. It's bought and paid for. I'm a conspiracy guy. So
it's kind of a conspiracy guy.
I try and stay away from all mainstream media.
So, you know, I think we'll find out pretty quickly if these phones are selling or not. The blue version sold out, I think, instantly, didn't it?
Yeah. Gone. Yeah.
Who knows how many of those they actually made or not. And maybe you can still get it through Verizon. I don't know. But on the Google store, yeah, blue is gone. But the rest of them you can still buy. So it's not like they sold 10 million of them yesterday. I don't know, I'm excited for the phones, but...
Me too. Jonathan in the chat says, they just give that away to hotels, right? USA Today is the hotel newspaper.
They do often just give that away. That's correct.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
All right, so let's talk about the Nexus stuff, though, because this actually is kind of crappy. Well, number one, Google said yesterday in a handful of interviews that they don't plan to make any more Nexus devices as of right now, right? They don't plan to make any more. But they do say that they will continue to support... They're excited about Pixel, but they're going to continue to support with customer support, software updates, stuff like that. Except it seems to have changed. And so I wrote another sort of opinion piece on this and why it seems like Google's abandoning Nexus users a little bit. And this is not like a full abandonment here, but like when you bought your Nexus 6P and 5X last year, you bought it under the assumption that this was like all Nexus phones. They get the updates first before everybody else. And they get new features and all this stuff. And so with Pixel now, that seems to be changing. Right. So the Pixel has an exclusive on Google Assistant, which that seems kind of lame. Like that, I think we all thought that was just going to be a Google software, like built into the search app or something, right? It's not. It's a Pixel exclusive. but then 7.1, which those are running, and those come out on October 20th. The Nexus phones aren't getting 7.1 for weeks, months, like the 6P and 5X, like it's coming before the end of the year is all we really know. And that's in a preview.
That's a developer preview, right? So official won't be until 2017.
Yeah. So what is that? 7.1 is apparently stable enough to put on your brand new phone and sell it, but it's not ready for months for the 6P and 5X that are only a year old. Like that's just a terrible message to be sending to the people that have, a lot of these Nexus phone owners have owned Google device after Google device. They're like, they're
loyal people.
Yes. And now Google's like, well, I don't know. We got these Pixel phones that we want to do. And so that, it actually kind of pisses me off.
It cuts a little deep. Yeah. Especially being a Nexus fan. That's not cool.
Yeah, so your 6P will get a dev preview of 7.1 at some point. And when it does, you don't get Assistant. You don't get the Pixel launcher. You don't get the new navigation buttons with the little animation when you touch home. You don't get that stuff. You don't get the new camera app. And then you do get, you know, some other tweaks that come with 7.1, but you're not getting the full Google experience anymore. That's now reserved for Pixel.
Right. I see people making this sort of comparison in the chat saying Google is the new Apple. However, this is exactly what Apple does not do, which is why people love Apple. When Apple announces a new phone or a new iOS version, that same iOS version is made available across the entirety of their iOS, like iPhone, iPad lineup. And those updates are immediate. No waiting for months when a Nexus phone, the glory son of Google, is having to wait months to get updated the latest version. That's not a good comparison, the whole Google to Apple thing, in my opinion.
Right. Apple does cut features from older phones and stuff like that. So they do, but like you just said, it's available that day for everyone.
They aren't waiting months.
Right. And so it just feels like Google is going, all right, guys, they won't say this, right? And they should say this, but sorry, we know you're all invested in Nexus, but we want to move forward with this new Pixel adventure, which we think is like going to be our big move into hardware. So we're kind of leaving you behind a little bit. Please don't be too mad at us.
Here's a coupon. Trade in your Nexus devices. Here's a coupon for a Pixel phone. That's what they need to do.
Something like that, right? Because how can you announce Android 7.1 on these phones and not make it available on October 20th when they ship, like as a factory image or whatever? And then not only that, they're not doing that. It'll come as a preview and, you know, over the next couple of months, not even stable. Like, you got to be kidding me. It's just terrible. And then when you get it, you don't get all the features that are on our other new phone, because we want you to buy our other new phone.
You guys want to know when Samsung devices are going to see Android 7.1? Never.
Well, so it's another like conversation that probably needs to happen soon, is what's going on with Android? Because
it's getting fragmented.
Well, so Google's now reserving 7.1 just for Pixel phones for the near future. And not only that, then they have these special features to go with it. But so, if Nexus phones now don't get updates right when the software's ready, when is Samsung going to get 7.1? When is LG getting 7.1? Because now we're talking about, is this stuff even open source anymore? I don't know. I'm not trying to go like really crazy down that road, because they haven't shown any real legitimate signs that they're just killing off what's been so great about Android. But when's everyone else getting this? We have no idea anymore, and they haven't really talked about it with anyone. So.
Alex says, I think you guys are making a big deal out of nothing. It is sort of a big deal, considering
it's a pretty big deal.
For the longest time since inception, Nexus devices are always updated first. Now, Android 7.1 is launching on the Pixel devices, and Nexus devices won't see the update for months. So it's not life ending or deal breaker by any means, like at this point, but it's different. And if you know anything about Nexus users, you know, if they hear that they're not getting an update in a timely manner, there will be hell to pay. So we're just trying to be their voice right now. And
Nexus 6 just got Nougat. I think it started Friday, maybe. And people were kind of pissed about that, because everyone else had Nougat. I mean, our inbox, every time the new version of Android gets pushed out and one or two phones seem to be a little slower, our inbox gets flooded. And people go, what's going on? Can you guys talk to Google and find out what's up? Like, this happens. Nexus users are a loud, loyal group. They want to know, and they want their stuff now.
Yeah.
So we now have a new version of Android 7.1, and Nexus owners have no idea when they're getting it, really. Other than this broad 3-month range. And that's different, and I think that's a big deal.
So Juan Park in the chat, he says, Tim, iOS doesn't have other companies making devices. If Google was the only company making Android devices, we would get new Android and updates right away. So this kind of proves my point exactly, that this is the wrong idea, because Google is the overseer of the Nexus devices as well as these Pixel phones. Google is not updating Nexus devices along with these Pixel phones now. And that's sort of the issue that we're trying to raise, right? These Nexus devices deserve, you would think, updates. And not only are they not going to get updates, but they're going to get sort of a, I want to say a bastardized, sort of like a slimmed down version of what 7.1 is on the Pixel phones. So they're removing features. I get you want to sell those Pixel phones. That's great. But at least bring those features once the update is available for Nexus phones, 6P and 5X at least, like Assistant, maybe not necessarily the 24/7 support, but bring what it is on the Pixel to the 6P because those owners deserve it. It's what they paid for when they bought it a year ago.
It's not like these are three-year-old phones. These exactly. are
it's less a year than old. A year old or a year and old. Yeah, these people who bought that phone, and the 6P was sort of, it wasn't like crazy expensive, but it was more expensive than what we were expecting, I think. From past Nexus devices that are like $400. So I think Nexus users are getting screwed and some people don't see it that way. So I'm going to stick up for my Nexus Master Race, even though I'm not really part of you guys. I will, we'll speak up for you. We'll let Google know what's up.
Sean said, this is the split of Android versions for other manufacturers and a version for Pixel phones. And that is kind of what I was sort of hinting at earlier. It feels like that Google is not only taking a new direction with hardware, it feel like they're going to do it with software too. And they're going to have an exclusive Android experience that they will push. And they've sort of always done that, right? But now it's more than ever. They're going to create stuff just for their phones and not give it to obviously anyone else. And so that they could sell more of their phones because they apparently want to do that. And then everyone else, yeah. And so, but the problem with that is then what really does happen with updates? Because if Pixel phones are always up to date and always getting everything, how long is it taking for Samsung to get Android, the newest version? How long is it taking LG and HTC and all these other companies, right? And Google just hasn't really touched on this stuff yet.
Not yet. They will have to.
I think that's why I think we're concerned at this point. But
yeah, concerned is almost an understatement. Like if I owned a 6P right now and I'm just like stuck on 7.0, curious and wondering when 7.1 may ever come, that would sort of piss me off. Like I'm cool with developer previews, but what the hell? I have to wait a few months for a beta and then maybe wait a little bit longer for like an official public release. That doesn't work for me. So honestly, I would maybe write an email to Google. I would plead my case, say, hey, I'm a big Google fanboy. I'm a Nexus Master Race. Can I please get a coupon for a Pixel phone? Because I can't afford it.
Swap my 5X for a Pixel.
Yeah, because this is some BS. You know what? Go ahead and try that, folks, and let me know how it works out. Google's cool, right? They say do no evil.
Yeah. I am also interested in how they're going to do software updates for the Pixel. All right, like, are we going to get factory images? Or is that stuff going away too? Because that was all part of the developer stuff. Like, are we still getting that stuff?
Pixel phones are not developer phones, man. Right. These are straight consumer-facing products, and right. The Nexus line was not. So, like you said, no factory images, no online posting of OTA files. They're closing it up.
Yeah, does all that stuff change? If it does, it's going to be kind of weird if that's the case. I don't know that we know that for sure yet. They haven't really talked about that either. A lot of questions out of yesterday. So
a lot of questions, not many answers, but that is the life we live.
It is. So that's pretty much it, I think, for Pixel. What else?
What happens when Google decides to ditch the Pixel line and come up with something new? Then we're all really screwed.
Hopefully they stick with this for a while. I think Bloomberg had a interview that they posted the minute all of this stuff went live yesterday, and they talked about how they have a like a whole device
they've got a schedule
going out for like 3 or 4 years or something. So they have some sort of plan. Okay. Let's obviously a lot of that probably depends on how many of these Pixel phones they sell. They're only on one carrier and they're selling unlocked for expensive. So we'll see.
I can tell you right now that they've already started pretty terribly. And I'll tell you that because of the naming scheme that they've got. They've got Pixel XL. The question you've got to ask yourself is, all right, what do we do in 2017? Is it going to be the Pixel 2, the Pixel XL 2? And then what comes after that? Already.
Just the new Pixel XL, the new Pixel. No, I don't know.
No one does that. You no can't do that. You've got to add a number or another letter. And 3 years from now, it's going to just be, Pixel the name's going to be terrible.
Pixel XLS, Pixel XXL.
Ooh. Yeah, the Pixel Diesel, Vin Diesel for the XXX. God, that was a terrible movie.
Pixel 2, Pixel 2 XL. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what it'll be, is the Pixel 2 and the Pixel 2 XL, which is kind of stupid.
It's going to be an interesting year, I think. It's going to be fun. I love this stuff.
I feel like a lot's going to change with Google.
Which is good.
In terms of Android.
People have been bitching about this thing for a long time, where Google didn't have enough control over what was taking place with Android. The minute that they do that with this move, seemingly, people are freaking out. So maybe we just need to wait, kick back, see what Google's plan is. Although Google has never been one to be very transparent in terms of like their plan. So because they, you know, we said they throw stuff at the dartboard, see what sticks, etc. Who knows? But Sundar's in charge, so you better believe he's got a plan.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope it all starts playing out.
All right. But yeah, Pixel.
Yeah. We're trying not to get too crazy about this. They just announced this stuff yesterday. Obviously, there's changes. And I think why we're freaking out a little bit is because we just want some answers. And we don't have any. And we may not get them for a while. But just give Nexus people some damn updates, Google. Then we'll be happy.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on. We just spent 50 minutes talking about the Pixel phones. So let's see. In terms of other products, you think Google Home is probably the next biggest that came out of there?
Yeah. I actually, again, to plug my Twitter yet again, I sent out a tweet in my rank of excitement. Number one was actually Google Home, followed by the Pixel phones. Google Home has me very excited. I can finally swap out Amazon Echo powered by Alexa. If you guys don't know, Google Home is Google's direct competitor to the Echo powered by Google Assistant. Same thing you'll find inside of Allo on the Pixel phones. So in my opinion, and this is really what brings Google into your home for a relatively low price of $129. Mm-hmm. To me, that's huge. Especially when you talk about the integration, interconnectivity with other devices that might already be in your home that are like smart things, like Nest, Philips Hue lights, things like that. So really when you start talking about a connected home, Google Home, it's looking pretty sweet. That's what I'm more excited about.
It does look pretty sweet. And the only thing is I don't use my Echo at all. So I don't know if I'll use this. Here's one thing though. If OK Google is the command for it, it's not going to set off your phone to, let's say you own a Pixel, and that is everything just going to go off in your house the minute you say OK Google? Okay.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think the only problem is Google's a little late to the game, so it's going to take a while for them to catch up. Like Amazon every week sends out an email that says, what's new with Alexa? And it's always a list of at least a handful of things, and they support all sorts of stuff.
I'm going to say, go out on a limb here, sorry, and say 75% of that stuff no one uses, though.
No. I'd say more like 92% of it, probably.
Totally possible, right? Like, so if this, then that integration is or support is fantastic. I mean, the ability to play music is all that jazz is pretty cool. But I think Google Home, just the fact that it's Google and using Google services, and plus I don't have to use Amazon Prime Music for the source of the music. I can use Spotify, Pandora, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, Google Play Music, things like that. YouTube on Google Home, that already makes it a way better buy than the Amazon Echo. I feel so limited with Echo.
I do too, because it doesn't work with any of the stuff I do.
Right. If I say, Alexa, play Free Bird, one of the biggest songs of all effing time, she gives me a live version which for like 30 seconds. Here's a sample of Free Bird by Lynyrd Skynyrd. I don't want a sample. I want to hear one of the best songs ever written, thank you, by an American rock band. You can't give me that. So I know Google Home is going to deliver Free Bird.
Yeah.
And I'm pissed.
I think we'll actually use it more often too, because every once in a while, my wife does try to get Alexa to. I think I have one over there. Oh, yeah, no,
play something.
Talk. Yeah, tries to get her to play something. Yeah, she does this exactly. Said, I can't find that. Here's a sample of something, and you're like, that is not what I wanted at all. And so with this, yeah, she'll just be able to talk to Google, which actually has all of our music, and then we have Chromecasts around the house. You can just tell it to cast things. I think it'll be I think it'll come in handy. And we have a Nest too, so we can always turn the temperature down or whatever. Mm-hmm. So
for people who are already invested in Google's ecosystem, Google Home, not a bad purchase whatsoever. If you've got a Chromecast hooked up to your TV, something like that, I mean, this isn't a bad purchase at all. If you pay, you know, what is $9.99 for a Google Play Music account, you use YouTube Red or YouTube Music or whatever, Spotify, Pandora, this isn't a bad option. Did you hear the speakers yesterday at all at the event?
No, they had like these little separate rooms set up, and every time I went through one, there was 10 or 15 people crammed in them, so you couldn't really, and they were kind of showing you demos, but yeah, no. I was just reading the blog post that they posted, and they seem to be pretty happy about the speaker, though.
They do seem to be pretty happy about the speaker. I like the design. You know, it's definitely a little bit smaller than Alexa's cylindrical tube, which is good. I mean, Alexa is sort of like an eyesore just sitting on my counter downstairs.
Yeah, I would agree. This thing looks much more modern, yet not so standout-ish.
Yeah, for sure. So,
like you said, $129 is...
Oh, that's competitive.
That seems pretty reasonable. We talked about this last week, how I thought, I was like, this thing's going to be like $250. And you were like, no, it's not. It's not. Get $129 seems like a really good deal. And it comes November, but you can pre-order right now, right?
Yes.
So November, Google Store, Best Buy, Target, and Walmart will all sell it. When you buy it, you get 6 free months of YouTube Red.
Six months of YouTube Red. I want to say Amazon Echo is still priced at $179.99. You can get like a refurb one for $150 or something, but man, $129? Like I said, that's competitive. And considering Google just released $700 smartphones that are the most uncompetitive prices ever, that's a good move, Google.
So that's what, not to like get back on Pixel pricing, but this is one of those areas where you go, okay, Google, so your brand new future tech smart home thing is reasonably priced at $129, and your Google Wi-Fi stuff, which we'll talk about in a second too, is ridiculously reasonably priced for what it is compared to the other competitors in that industry. And yet your phone, after years of it being cheap, you now are like, no, we want to make lots of money off our phones.
It's an interesting play. But
yeah, we'll see how it goes.
And more power to them.
So yeah, Google Home will be great, but yeah, not till November. All the stuff they announced yesterday, by the way, none of it's available right now. It's all coming in the next couple weeks to month or so.
Right.
All right. So let's go into Google Wi-Fi quickly then. So Google Wi-Fi, not really similar to Home, but it's a modern design you're supposed to put in every room and give you Wi-Fi blanketed throughout your house. We talked about this last week, and there's really no surprise there. So if, for those not familiar, Google Wi-Fi is like Eero, and I think the other one is Luna, and they're Wi-Fi routers you put throughout your house. And so they connect and create this sort of mesh network to hopefully give you strong signal everywhere you go in your house. And this is Google's version. And it starts at $129 for a single module, but they're going to sell a three-pack for $299. So for comparison's sake, an Eero, one by itself, costs $199. If you buy a three-pack, it's $500. So Google just basically killed Eero before they even got started. So pricing-wise, that's pretty good. And these also, if you own a Google OnHub router, these work with OnHub. So you can keep your OnHub router hooked up to your modem if you want, and then start adding Google Wi-Fi hotspots throughout your house, and it'll just sort of expand that way, which is kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, that's really it, right? There wasn't anything extra special in there.
No. The fact that it does work with the existing OnHub router, huge play. Very nice. This was actually ranked number 3 on my excitement list yesterday, just because this is something that is just going to work, right? It's got the smart connect feature it's going to be able to identify the cleanest channel and the quickest connection for you to connect to your devices, and then you're going to control it through an app. This just works. And I love the idea, because I have my router and modem. I just have a standard like Moto surfboard and Asus router in my upstairs office. But then, so my downstairs connection can be sometimes shoddy. So having this, and I can just throw a module upstairs, throw one downstairs, throw one in my backyard if I want. It's so exciting. And the fact that it's only $299 for a three pack, they killed it.
It's pretty awesome. So like I have Eero, which now sucks because I want Google Wi-Fi. And now I'm like, well, what am I going to do with this Eero? Because I already have an on hub. Yeah, I could try to sell it. Because I have an on hub that I tested for a while and liked. But as Eero came out, these technologies where you could get, because I'm with you, I have router modem in my office and then upstairs where our bedroom is, like it doesn't, our Wi-Fi barely reaches up there, right? Yeah. And so that's why this Eero system made so much sense. And then, yeah, of course, Google has to come out with it because I'd rather use Google's because the OnHub app is great. Eero is kind of a new startup company and they take a long time to improve some of their stuff. And I do have some issues here and there. So, yeah, I would only need to buy like one or two maybe of these Google Wi-Fis because I already have OnHub. So it looks great. It's the future of Wi-Fi, right? And when's that coming? We don't know when that's coming. That's not coming till December.
Right.
All right. I got a ways to go then. If I'm not mistaken. Yeah. All right. So new Chromecast Ultra official. And it is indeed the 4K and HDR Chromecast. And it's $69. And when is it coming?
November.
As well.
For $69.
So it's stream. We talked about last week how, like, what's it going to stream? And of course, Netflix and YouTube and Vudu, because those do 4K, and then Google Play Movies and TV coming later.
I recall someone, I forget who, but they said that Google Play Movies or something would deliver 4K content. Who was that? Who said that on the Droid Life show?
Who did say that?
I forget.
It just made so much sense that they would have to announce that Google Play Movies would finally get 4K. And yeah, they did announce that. So
yeah. And goodbye entire digital collection that I've spent like 3 years improving upon. Like that pisses me off beyond belief. Yeah. But it's okay. It's Google. I will allow them to screw me. But the fact that I've spent hundreds of dollars on digital movies for them to probably be replaced by 4K counterparts, sort of
it'd be nice if they would let you just do like a $2 upgrade or something.
Oh yeah, that'd be
legit. Like just pay $2 more and you can get this in 4K. That would be great.
Maybe $5 even. I'd be cool with $5.
Yeah, maybe they will do that.
How much are these 4K movies going to cost us? I wonder, because they're digital, right?
Like, no one sells them. Yeah, right. Like no one sells 4K digital or does Vudu. I don't even know what Vudu is.
I don't even know what Vudu does, to be honest. I know that you get a free rental sometimes from T-Mobile every Tuesday. That's about it. I know that they're overpriced. I've looked at their site before and it's overpriced. So when you buy, what is it, like that purple disc or whatever, you get like a digital copy, digital H, I don't know. I don't even know what they call it. XDV. I forget. You know what? I'm not even going to talk on it because I don't know anything about it. Yeah, Ultraflix. Yes. Thank you, Cedric. Either way, how much are they going to cost? Because again, no one's really doing that in the capacity that Google's talking about.
Right. So yeah, if Google's selling 4K, I'm happy about that. But Chromecast Ultra loads videos 1.8 times faster than other Chromecast devices, by the way. And Google says they have major Wi-Fi improvements to support these 4K streams. Because I think we're all a little concerned. Like, how is anyone's Wi-Fi going to be good enough to push 4K? But
there's an Ethernet port now, too. So if you want to hardwire... This doesn't make any sense, but is it at all possible maybe the modules for Google Wi-Fi, those don't have Ethernet ports on them, do you? So you could like maybe take a port. Each module has a port?
I think they have two ports, yeah.
Oh my goodness. So I could have my Google Wi-Fi port downstairs and plug that via Ethernet into my Chromecast Ultra, possibly?
Possibly, yes.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's still kind of Wi-Fi. So, yeah, you're going Wi-Fi.
Technically, it's Wi-Fi, but the signal would still be better.
It should be more stable, you would think, because it's coming straight out of that. Yes.
Man, I can't wait. This Christmas is going to be amazing. I'm gonna get it all.
It was really one of those things where, like, yesterday when all this stuff went up, you could have easily spent, like, $2,000. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I'm pretty sure they have two ports. Let me look. Yeah, two. Yeah, they have 2 gigabit Ethernet ports.
Wow. All right, then. Sold.
Yeah. So Chromecast, Ultra, Google Wi-Fi, Google Home. I guess the last thing really was Daydream View. Daydream View.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Daydream is, obviously, you guys know, is Google's VR platform. And Daydream View is their first headset. And works with the Pixel phones, and that's it. We kind of talked about this last week, how I said a little birdie maybe told me that Nexus 6P was no longer a Daydream phone. And I think that's pretty much the case.
Confirmed.
Actually, I think, yeah, Google's either Nexus or Pixel, or they're made by Google account or something. Like, mm-hmm. I think somebody sent a link somewhere today that said, like, oh, no, these aren't so dangerous. It's not supported anymore. It's like, no, it's not. So the 6P, which was supposed to be, one of the first Daydream devices, is not. So another way they're kind of screwing Nexus users kind of back and out of that. Anyway, this thing is, what, $79? This Daydream View, $79, comes in a couple of different colors, has the little remote. It's made of breathable materials. I saw people comparing it to sweats yesterday, and I laughed. It does kind of look like a pair of sweats.
Looks comfy.
It does look comfy. But $79 is pretty reasonable. Again, another reasonably priced Google product that isn't their Pixel phones. They had some of these there, but there was massive amounts of sweaty press trying to get demos. It's one of those things you can't really, that I don't typically dive in for. I'm not a big sharer of VR headsets in public. I just kind of think that's gross.
Yeah.
Once these come out, they also launch in November. We'll be sure to give you guys some full impressions of those. But that's pretty much it, I think. There was a lot of stuff yesterday.
Today was a big day.
Yeah. I'm definitely feeling the Google event hangover today. Yeah, so Pixel phones, we have some of those coming. We'll have review units and stuff too, by the way. I don't know if you guys are wondering. Google will send us some at some point. And these things, the phones come out on the 20th, so hopefully we have review units fairly quickly and we can start diving into stuff. But in case we don't get any of this stuff, like Tim and I basically have most of this stuff on order. I will say, I don't think I'm going to get a Chromecast Ultra. I don't. Chromecasts are kind of finicky. Do you use a Chromecast much?
So I just use Google Cast. That's built right into my Shield Android TV,
which works great. It's got
4K.
Yeah, the actual Chromecasts, the connectivity on them just sucks in my house. I don't know what it is. I always thought it was a bad design because they're like tucked behind the TV, which is like the worst thing for Wi-Fi signals. But I always just, like, they'll play and then like mid stream, they just cut out and then your phone disconnects from the stream and stuff. Like, Chromecast always seemed to be a little, at least this newest version, it just doesn't seem to be that great. So I don't know that I'm going to get a Chromecast Ultra, but like you, I have a Shield TV and it does. So,
right. Yeah. So I'm just going to get Google Wi-Fi Ethernet up straight to my Shield TV. Cause that right now that's on Wi-Fi. And my TV is on Wi-Fi too, right? Because that thing has firmware updates that it needs. So, like, everything is on Wi-Fi down there, and I absolutely hate that. Yeah, so, that Google Wi-Fi will save the day for me.
Yeah, see, Muramoto said, Chromecast always doesn't work when you need it to work. That's exactly how I feel about it. Yeah. My Chromecast sucks when streaming Twitch, Samuel Davis says. I'm kind of feeling the same way.
Tejas, no Android Wear announcements yesterday. There's no
absolutely
nothing, Pixie Watch or Pixel tablet or anything like that. No Andromeda yet. God.
I feel like somebody else, you know, was talking about how there's no way in hell they're going to show off Andromeda at this because they wouldn't do that. That would be...
I forget who said that.
Damn, we pretty much called almost everything, I will say that. Yeah, we talked about that for a while, that they're not going to show this Andromeda thing at this Google. This is about hardware. This isn't about showing off concept things that they're working on. Sorry. Yeah,
why would you not save that for I.O.? I don't know.
And that's exactly where we'll see it. If this thing is close, we'll see it at I.O.
Yeah.
There was also a bunch of reports last week about Nexus not being dead, and there's a Huawei Nexus tablet coming, and Google pretty much crushed
They have no plans for a Nexus device, so that solves your quandary.
Yeah.
Real quickly, you know, before we break off, I know it's getting late, but people want us to talk about this Galaxy Note 7 replacement device story and how it blew up on a Southwest domestic flight. So quickly, we'll dive into this. On a flight earlier today, this is all reported, and this story was posted to The Verge, who apparently spoke with the customer via phone. So they are boarding a plane in Louisville on their way to Boston, I believe, on a Southwest domestic flight. They get on. The flight attendants, like every other flight, they say, all right, time to turn off your phones. The guy turns off his phone, puts it in his pocket, when all of a sudden it bursts into smoke, and he described it as an angry green-gray smoke, whatever the hell that meant. Like, that how does smoke get angry? I don't know. Maybe that's how they describe smoke in Louisville.
Maybe.
I like the descriptor. Anyway, so he throws the phone. I mean, what else are you going to do, right? Throws it onto the floor of the cabin. It's smoking up. They have to evacuate the plane. I have to stress again, this is all just reported. So they evacuate the plane. Thankfully, no one's injured. They don't do emergency slides or anything. They're still, they didn't even taxi out yet. So they're still sitting on the, in the gate. They get off the plane through the main cabin exit. And while all of a sudden, apparently, this Mr. Green is his name. Mr. Green's colleague was able to get back onto the plane to fetch some personal belongings, and he snapped a picture. And the picture is of what you can see, an exploded Galaxy Note 7 sitting on the floor of what appears to be a plane. You can kind of see the carpet and the hardware you would sort of recognize with a plane seat, an airline seat. So, I mean, the photo looks legit. However, in the event of like an emergency evacuation of a flight, no one is going to let you get back onto the plane to sort of fetch your stuff. It's just not how this works. And I think the FAA would definitely speak out against if that happened. So Samsung did release a statement. At first, they hadn't said anything. They did release a statement. The latest that I've seen right now is Samsung says, until we are able to retrieve the device, we cannot confirm that this incident involves the new Note 7. We are working with authorities in Southwest now to recover the device and confirm the cause. Once we have examined the device, we will have more information to share. Right. So this exploding, like I said in the post, exploding Note 7s are not breaking news anymore. We know that it happens. However, this is apparently a replacement Galaxy Note 7 that this individual picked up from an AT&T store on September 21st. If this turns out to be a replacement Note 7, one that should be good to go and not explode, and it happened to light up on a Southwest flight that canceled the flight, everyone had to get booked on later flights, that's a pretty big problem, I would say.
Yeah, if this is, so there's a picture, The Verge has a picture of the box, which has the black the little black box on there, and then they have a screenshot of the IMEI checker, and I mean, like you just said, if this is actually a replacement device that blew up, oh my God, Samsung. Something feels off about this. I don't know that I'm fully buying into this. And of course, like the story ends with, he already replaced it with an iPhone 7. You know, so there's, something feels a little fishy about it. But I mean, I hope for Samsung's sake that this isn't really a replacement. This is, I hope for their sake that this is just some dude pulling a BS prank, but it's not, like, this is full on massive controversy. I mean, they would have to recall potentially all of the new replacement, and they may just have to shut it down. Like, shut we're just, down. you can't be going on planes with a phone that can blow up. And I know people probably are, because I still don't think they're at 100% return yet. Right. You know, there's still people floating around out there with smoking bomb Note 7s. This could potentially be really bad.
This could be bad. It could also just be total hit job by Apple. Like you said, considering that it says that Mr. Green now has an iPhone 7, that seems, it's very fishy.
Right.
And again, I have to stress that in the event of an evacuation from a flight, no one in the right mind is going to let you get back on the plane to fetch your belongings. I've had I've had the same issue. I was in at JFK. I had to deboard a plane because the plane was having mechanical issues and they were going to work on it. I left my phone charger on the plane and my phone was about to die. We were out on we were in the gate for like maybe an hour and I was like, can I please go get my phone charger? I need it. And they're like, oh no. Like once we're off the plane, you can't get back on the plane until we get the okay. We got to go through all this stuff. So there's no way this guy just...
Especially after an evacuation of a burning object on a plane.
Yeah, sure. I forgot my stuff. Let me go back and get it.
Sure. Just you go ahead, friend of the guy who's trying to like set up Samsung.
Total. It's a hit job. So, but it feels like it. Yeah, we're waiting for Sam. What we really want is word from Southwest. I could care less about a statement from Samsung at this point because we already know they're screwed. If this turns out to be fact. But what I want to hear is Southwest, because we were given a flight number. I forget it off the top of my head right now. But yeah, I pulled up that flight information on FlightAware and other sites, and I couldn't find any info on a flight being canceled going from Louisville to Boston this morning. The only flight that I could see for that same flight number was from Mexico, I think, to Houston. So the story... At least from what
there's a couple holes in it, potentially. Yeah.
From what I researched for 20 seconds, didn't really add up too well. So, but this story is circulating. It's very fast.
It has happened fast.
So CNBC touched on it, and I think local affiliates for other major networks were touching on it. So we'll see. We'll get to the bottom of it soon enough, man. When you talk about planes catching fire because of smartphones, that stuff, they'll be talking about that the next presidential debate if it's right. So
yeah, I took two flights in the last couple of days, Alaska flights, and they both stopped before they do their normal announcements to tell everyone with a note 7 that they have to turn it off and they can't stow it and all that stuff. Like they're still talking about it even though the recall's been going. So Samsung's going to be hurting a little bit, I think, for a while after this whole Note 7 debacle. Like Zach just mentioned in the chat, he said, what sucks is now every single Samsung device, period, when it catches fire, blows up, it'll be huge headline. And Samsung's going to be known if they can't get their phones to stop blowing up and catching on fire. They're going to be known as the phone manufacturer whose phones catch on fire. That's not something you want to be known for.
Yeah, definitely not.
And in comes Google with the Pixel.
Yeah, my hope is that the story is fuzzy at best. So, I don't know. We'll see, though. Because I'm using a Note 7, guys, and it's a replacement model. And so now I don't trust that green battery indicator. I don't trust the little black square icon that came on the box. How can I trust anything? And apparently this guy, Mr. Green, all he did was wirelessly charge his device. It was about 80% when he said it exploded. And that's all I do with this phone now is wirelessly charge it on my desk. Oh, there it goes. And
he probably just got done at one of those really shady airport supercharger stations where you pay like $5 man. And it just melted his phone.
Yeah. It's totally possible. Either way, I can't wait to switch to the Pixel and stop using the Nexus 7 forever and just be done with this. I'm tired of walking around with a bomb.
It sucks too. The Note 7 is such a good phone. I miss it a little bit because it's so good. And now it feels like I can't even like, I don't even have one now because I haven't even asked for Samsung for another review unit to test for a little bit or anything. And I don't really want to go buy one because apparently it might still be having issues.
Who knows?
It's too bad. Yeah. It's a good phone.
I would, if this story does indeed pan out, I would recommend to everyone to return, get a full refund for your Note 7. And if this story is true, and say they did a second recall on the replacement devices, don't worry. Samsung will gladly give you your money back. Like you will have no problem getting a refund for this phone if another recall is done.
Yeah, well, certainly.
This isn't the first report we've heard about these replacement devices. This is just the biggest one we've heard.
The first one was out of China, and Samsung denied it. And I don't know if it... But yeah, there's been a couple here and there, and most of them haven't really panned out. This one... Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye on it. We'll let you guys know.
We'll keep you posted.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right, sweet. Any last? I don't think we'll do a show Friday.
Now we already talked about all happens, this.
But we talked about all the big stuff, so we'll probably be back the following week. Any final words on any of that stuff?
No, I wanted to draw attention that this is episode 123. I'm just going to refer to this as the Michael Jordan episode, the GOAT, or just the GOAT episode. That would work too. The Pixel GOAT. Other than that, I hope everyone has a fantastic, I was going to say have a fantastic weekend, but have a fantastic rest of your week. We got Thursday and Friday coming up.
Got Thursday and Friday to go. All right, cool. Well, thanks for joining us. Be on the lookout for lots of Pixel coverage and stuff like that. Once we get review units, should be fun. Droid life. Peace.
Bye-bye.